Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
Our beloved Treasury Secretary, Janet Yellen, said that she believes the American economy remains strong and its banking system is resilient. That is, of course, if you first close your mind and your eyes and your ears and overlook the recent bankruptcy of three financial institutions, one of them a very, very big one. Keep in mind, this is the same person who assured us that we would never see another financial crisis in her lifetime. So it is self-serving for her to deflect attention away from the current banking crisis and economic meltdown that is on the horizon. Perhaps she'd be better off spending her time figuring out how to reduce the federal budget deficit, which has hit $1.1 trillion in just the first 6 months of fiscal 2023. This is a nightmare pace of budget deficits that adds onto the pile of $32 trillion of debt every year. And spending her time, this is what she should be spending her time doing, trying to restrain the intractable and profligate spending in D.C. instead of making inane speeches. But she's not doing that. Janet Yellen said at her press conference ahead of the spring IMF, International Monetary Fund, and World Bank meeting that, and I'll quote her, "I've not really seen evidence at this stage suggesting a contraction in credit, although that is a possibility." Close quote. She doesn't see a contraction in credit? The net percentage of banks that were already tightening credit standards and lending prior to this latest banking crisis had surged to the recessionary level of 44.8. That number surely has increased, and she knows this, post the bank runs of the past few weeks. This proves that she is one of the most feckless political sycophants the U.S. has ever produced. She continued on by saying this, quote, "The U.S. economy is obviously performing exceptionally well. I believe our banking system remains strong and resilient. It has solid capital and liquidity. So I'm not anticipating a downturn in the economy, although, of course, that remains a risk." Close quote. It's all lies. And I am going to prove it to you very simply. This is what, if you don't know one scintilla, if you don't remember anything that I have been telling you over these past few weeks, months, years, if you only remember this, this is the most important thing. This is why I know she's a buffoon and why I know we're headed for a very big crisis. Worse than the one in 2022, that was the prelude, and worse than the one in 2008. In the 3 years leading up to the global financial crisis, the total debt in the United States, including public and private debt, so total non-financial public and private debt, jumped by 25% in the 3 years leading up to the Great Recession. So 2005, 2006, 2007, 25% increase. From the years 2020 to 2022, in those 3 years, 20, 21, 22, last 3 years, total U.S. debt has jumped by 24%. This means the U.S. economy has taken on virtually the same percentage increase in debt that it did leading up to the meltdown of the entire global financial system and economy. Let's look at the raw numbers of debt incurred. In the 3 years leading up to the great global financial crisis, total non-financial debt in the U.S. increased by $7.3 trillion, rising from $26.2 trillion to $33.5 trillion. In comparison, and much worse, during the three previous years, that three-year time frame from the start of 2020 through the end of 22, total debt increased by $14.4 $1.5 trillion, soaring from $54.5 trillion to a whopping $68.9 trillion of total public and private non-financial debt. Now, you would agree then that this is a much more precarious and leveraged economy than we've ever seen before, and the rate of change of increase is the same leading up to the GFC. Now, leading up to the GFC, the global financial crisis, the Fed raised rates by 425 basis points. During the prelude to this latest incipient crisis and to the edge of the precipice of the economic cliff, the Fed raised rates by 500 basis points and at the same time is reducing bank reserves, also known as quantitative tightening. So yes, there is a massive amount of leverage in the system, and now you know why the record amount of debt incurred in the past few years is incapable of being serviced appropriately and adequately due to the Fed's record pace of rate hikes and QT. Now let's switch to the safety talk about, you know, everybody's sequestered in these few small stocks in the S&P like Apple. Well, here's the truth. Apple Mac shipments fell 40.5% in the first quarter of 23 compared to the same time in the prior year. Apple Mac shipments down 40.5%. Now, Apple is a cyclical company and will get crushed in a recession. And in case you think the slowdown in sales was idiosyncratic to Apple, Lenovo and Dell reported declines of more than 30%. Why is this important? Why am I wasting time mentioning Apple? It's because Apple is a huge part of the S&P 500. And when Apple goes down, and it will go down in a recession, it's going to drag everything else with it. Now back to Miss Yellen. I'm very sorry, Miss Yellen. The economy is about to cascade into freefall. However, the labor economists at the Fed are still in tightening mode. The non-farm payroll report for March that was reported by the BLS on Good Friday, which, by the way, I find disgusting. Why are we reporting economic data on Good Friday when the market's closed? I mean, if one good thing about Wall Street is that at least it closes on Good Friday. But the BLS, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, part of the Labor Department, thinks it's a good thing to just, you know, distract our attention from what we should be thinking about and having our eyes glued on the TV to see how many jobs did the BLS make up for the month. So that came in at 236,000 net new jobs, which, of course, oh, it's better than expected. Oh, this is wonderful news. The economy's still hot and the consumer's still strong. But this figure, produced by the BLS, you could just call it the BS and get rid of the L, this figure contradicts nearly every single employment metric. For examples, I'll enumerate them for you. The ADP report, the new and improved ADP report, showed that 145,000 jobs were created in March, far below 236. The ISM manufacturing survey showed a sharp contraction in labor in March, and that subcomponent ticked down to 46.9, which again is below expansion, 50, and even below the February reading of 49.1, far below it. Also, the services sector showed only a slightly positive figure of 51.3, which was down from 54. The JOLTS survey showed that the number of job openings plunged by 10 million in February, which was a drop of 632,000 job openings from January and was the lowest level of job openings since May of 2021. There's more contradictory evidence to the BS from the BLS. The index of aggregate hours worked shows that labor hours have declined by 0.3% since January of this year. So if you take the number of hours worked in the end of December and you look at the total numbers of hours worked, so people employed and the hours that they work get total hours of work, it's lower now than it was at the start of the year. The National Federation of Independent Businesses, the Small Business Optimism Index, decreased 0.8 points in March to 90.1, marking the 15th consecutive month below the 49-year average of 90, of 98. NFIB chief economist Bill Dunkelberg had this to say about hiring in this key sector, the small business sector. Quote, small business owners are cynical about future economic conditions. Hiring plans fell to their lowest level since May of 2020. Close quote. The small business survey also indicated that credit conditions are the worst since December of 2012. And of course, the parade of hiring freezes and layoff announcements from seemingly every major U.S. business continues unabated. But never mind all that, which I just told you, which is all factual. Just look at what the BLS said was the number of people that were employed in March. So to sum up the current situation, the debt-disabled economy is faltering under the weight of an unprecedented rate of change of monetary tightening and money supply contraction. If you don't believe that, just look at the crumbling commercial real estate market, and I'll have much more to say on that next week, the floundering financial services industry, and the broken down auto markets. Auto dealerships, by the way, are suffering with inventories that are up 70% year over year in March. Meaning these assets, which are owned in great quantities by banks, shadow and traditional banks, will be plummeting in price and exacerbating their insolvency conditions. This will in turn further curtail credit availability, yes, Miss Yellen, and put extreme stress on the balance sheets of corporations, especially those 20% of listed shares in the United States that need to tap new debt just to pay the interest on existing obligations. That's a problem when the credit markets are shutting down. Now, we remain comfortably secluded in gold and the miners, which love lower nominal and real yields, and they love recessions, and that is where we're heading if we're not in one already, and I think we're in one. We're in bonds, treasury bonds, across the yield curve, heavily weighted on the front end. Bond proxies. We're short high yield and long anti-beta. We're long those stocks that have low volatility and short those stocks that have high volatility. We still like the U.S. dollar for a little while longer, but it's on a short leash. Still had a very good trade with this, but it should absolutely plunge once the recession becomes obvious, even to those with the acumen of a mentally challenged amoeba like Janet Yellen. We have our shopping list ready, and we are fully prepared for when the IDEC model signals it's time for the U.S. dollar to crash. Hint, it will involve the buying of more gold.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.